From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com is with us. Then, Ben, I've got such a slew of emails that have rolled in asking you questions. It's amazing. How you been?
Nice to talk to you again, George. Been a while.
Ben Fuchs, of course, is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist as well. He is a spokesperson for criticalhealthnews.com. And we're going to be here to help you getting you through this strangest time I think I've ever lived. How about you?
Absolutely, 100%. It's the strangest time ever. I heard you talking about the UFO thing. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if somebody time traveled from 30 years ago or 40 years ago when UFOs were the stuff of crackpots and tinfoil hat folks, and now we're talking about just it's normal. It's an accepted thing. The world has changed so much, George, in the last 10 or 15 years. There's a great book by a guy named Thomas Friedman called Thank You for Being Late, and he talks about how the world has changed since 2008 so dramatically, but nobody has caught on to that. It's happened. It seems like it's gradual, but in 2008, the whole world changed.
I've never seen this planet so confused, so hateful in all my life.
Yeah. In a way, though, George, it's because we're so interconnected now. We're so interconnected in a way that we couldn't even have dreamt of.
Maybe too much.
Yeah, but maybe it's going to get better.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I'm hoping that that's what I'm pulling for.
Well, let's get people to feel better, Ben, and then at the half we'll start taking phone calls, and we'll do it next hour as well. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us. The website, of course, criticalhealthnews.com, the toll-free number to call. And this number to call is to get the information that Ben or Doc Wallach spit out that you can't catch. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Let me go through a slew of some emails, Ben, that have rolled in for you.
Sure.
Here's one from Noel in Las Vegas. He says, Ben, I take astaxanthin.
Uh-huh.
You know what that is?
Astaxanthin.
What is that?
Astaxanthin is a fascinating molecule called a carotenoid. It's a pigment that's found in marine life. And these pigments have an amazing role to play in transducing sunlight into matter. They have an ability to somehow turn the photons that come from the sun into electrons that will get converted into matter. And when we eat these astaxanthins, that's what gives salmon its red color, we get protected in a way that is analogous to the creatures that produce this astaxanthin. And it's a wonderful antioxidant, adaptogenic substance. It's great for your eyes. It's a really, really cool supplement, and it's not the only carotenoid, but it's the one that's getting a lot of press.
Well, he said he takes it with omega-3s for better absorption. How much should he take?
You can take as much as you want.
Okay.
You can't overdose on astaxanthin. It's an amazing. All of these phytonutrients are non-toxic completely. You can't overdose on these things. And astaxanthin is absolutely fabulous. It's found in, I think they put it in, Longevity puts it in the Vision FX. It's not astaxanthin. They put similar molecules. Have you heard of lutein and zeaxanthin?
Yeah, lutein's great for the eyes.
Very,
right?
Very similar to astaxanthin.
Next one's from Bernie. He says, hi, Pharmacist Ben. I would like to take selenium, but I started taking 100 mcgs per day, and for a while my hair started falling out like crazy.
I wouldn't attribute that to the selenium.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, but that's an interesting point that he raises, because sometimes we'll make a change in how we eat or how we supplement or something in our life, and then a symptom will occur, and we'll automatically attribute that symptom to the change that we made. And that's not always an accurate way to make an assessment on a change. Selenium, I find that hard to believe that, and that's even a small dose of selenium, that would happen. On the other hand, selenium is very important for the thyroid, and hypothyroidism is one of the major causes of hair loss, especially in women. So in a way, selenium, by supporting the thyroid, can be a pro-hair or a hair-strengthening supplement. Selenium, of course, is wonderful for the immune system. It's important for blood sugar. It's important for the heart. It's part of the Longevity Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. It's a fabulously important supplement. And by the way, It's one of the ones that Dr. Wallach really jumped on early. He was one of the first guys to understand how important selenium was.
He says that is it part of his secret sauce.
Yeah, he does call it.
I had to squeeze it out of him.
Yeah, there was a disease. Have you heard of this thing called Keyshawn's disease that happened?
Yes, I have.
In China, they found that when animals were subsisting on selenium, poor diets, they ended up with these heart disease. They called it Keyshawn's disease. And selenium supplementation is actually a treatment for that. Anybody who's dealing with a cardiovascular health issue, selenium is a must-have.
It sure is. He also said that babies needed it in their formula.
Probably so. Selenium, you know, selenium is interesting because it's used in the body in very, very small amounts. Yet those tiny amounts are critical for the immune system, for the thyroid, for the blood sugar system, for the heart. The ultimate selenium from longevity is 100 micrograms of selenium. Is anybody who's dealing with any of these issues, blood sugar issues or heart issues or immune system issues, especially now with all the stuff that's going on with COVID, you'd be really smart to get yourself on that ultimate selenium.
How do you see the vaccine? Are you a vax guy?
George, I know how the sausage is made, George.
I know.
You know, I know what they're doing.
Am I putting you on the spot?
You know, I don't like to get political. And the divide between vaxxing and anti-vaxxing has been made so distinct that all of a sudden you're lumped into some kind of crazy pile if you have an opinion, one way or another, really. But, you know, I don't believe in any kind of medication unless you absolutely positively need. There are times. There are definitely times you absolutely positively need medication. But it should be a last resort. And that includes vaccinations. Last resort.
Absolutely. Well, that's true, too. I would love to see some data to see how many people who have been vaccinated have come down with COVID or the Delta variant.
And not only that, George, but there's literature that shows that when after you've been vaccinated, you are more susceptible to certain infections. So you got to be the first people on the early adopters, if you will, the first people to get this kind of treatment, and I'll call it a treatment, not really a vaccination, are going to be an experiment. So when you ask me my feeling on it, I'm in the control group, George.
Once again, though, build up your immune system.
Build up your immune system. You know, the lines at McDonald's have not gotten any shorter. The lines at Chick-fil-A are just as long as they've ever been. And people are still eating the processed food, and they're still smoking cigarettes, and they're still living a sedentary lifestyle. Why is it that we're so obsessed with these pharmacological interventions when lifestyle management, how we eat, how we supplement, how we breathe, how we exercise, our spirituality, our sense, our mental and our emotional resilience, these are fundamental factors that we're in control of. And this is my message ultimately, is that we want to leverage our power at our locus of control. You don't want to go outside of yourself to an authority or an intervention that is not something that you can control. You can control your lifestyle, but you can't control what happens when you take a prescription drug or when you get a vaccination.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. We're going to take calls with Ben at the half and then all of next hour for you. And hopefully we can give you some information you can use. Deborah writes that she has had some anxiety and she wants to go on benzos. Mm. What are benzos?
Benzos are benzodiazepines. The classic one is Valium, of course.
Okay.
Xanax, and you know, there's a bunch of them now. But Valium was the first one that came out. Remember Mother's Little Helper? That song, Mother's Little Helper.
Yeah.
Running for the shelter.
And lithium.
What's that?
What about lithium?
Lithium is not really in the same category as a benzodiazepine because it's a mineral. It's an element.
Okay.
It's nutritional. But interestingly, lithium has a stabilizing effect on the brain. So anybody who's dealing with bipolar disorder or anxiety issues or problem sleeping would be very wise to start supplementing with lithium, which, of course, you'll get in the Beyond Tangy Tangerine and the plant-derived mineral.
Okay, interesting.
Lithium is not in the same category as the benzos. Benzodiazepines are addicting. You develop tolerance with on them, and you're not going to want to be driving or functioning normally.
What are they?
They're a drug. They're a downer, basically. They're a drug.
I mean, where do they affect? The brain?
The brain, yeah. Heck, yeah. They put you to sleep. They're, you know, simply put, there's drugs that are mental. When we talk about pharmacological agents for the brain or for mental health issues, there's uppers and there's downers, right? Your uppers are your stimulants. Your downers are your benzos. Even Prozac is somewhat of a downer. So that's a very broad generalization. But the benzodiazepines tend to be downers. You remember barbiturates. When barbiturates were big in the 1950s, they kind of revolutionized psychopharmacology. The benzodiazepines like Valium were much milder than the barbiturates. So they became very, very popular. And they're still popular today. The kids are doing Xanax today. That's a big thing for people who want to abuse drugs because they, you know, everybody has this stress.
That's crazy times. Ben, stay with us. We'll come back in a moment. I want to ask you a few more questions, then we'll open up the phone lines, and we'll do that next hour as well. Ben Fuchs with us from CriticalHealthNews.com, CriticalHealthNews.com. Let's slam that website, folks. Take a look at it. You should go to it every day anyway. And then, of course, the toll-free number to call for assistance, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Back with pharmacist Ben Fuchs and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we got close to a record, but we're not quite there yet. So criticalhealthnews.com is the website to go to. Just peruse it. Smartphone. Download the app, too, by the way. It's free in your app store, criticalhealthnews.com. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us. The toll-free number to call to get assistance. You're going to just hear him in a second telling folks what to do. 1-855-949-RADIO. 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. The toll-free number, 1-855-949-7234. Ben, exactly what is a panic attack?
Huh. George, hold your breath for about 10 seconds.
All right.
When you hold your breath for 10 seconds, you're going to feel the urge to breathe at about 9 seconds, right? Well, if you force yourself to go past that 10 seconds and go to like 25 seconds or 30 seconds, pretty soon you're going to start to get shaky. And most people can't get past there. Their brain will force them to breathe. But if you stay with it, you'll get shaky. You'll get the blood will start to rush into your head. You'll start to have anxiety. In short, you're going to have a panic attack. And that's what a panic attack is. A panic attack is the feeling that you get where you feel like you're not going to survive. You feel like you're going to die.
You can't breathe or something?
This is where it's initiated, George. Anybody who has panic attacks will recognize this. Before you have the panic attack, you're not breathing. And it's the lack of oxygen and of course, oxygen is the most vital substance in the body. You can't go 3 minutes without oxygen, much more important than even food or supplements or water even. So when the brain senses this lack of oxygen, it goes into a panic mode, basically in an attempt to get you to breathe.
Well, why aren't you breathing?
Because of long-term stress, we learn to hold our breath. Think about this, George. The next time you have to merge onto traffic from a highway, from a small road onto a highway, if you pay very close attention to that merging action that you're taking, you'll notice that you're holding your breath. We hold our breath when we're under duress. And because most of us are under duress a lot, and we've been under duress for many of us since we were little children, what ends up happening is we don't breathe correctly. Now, if the duress becomes serious or the response to the duress becomes serious, you'll actually hold your breath. And you'll hold your breath for a long enough period of time that you'll go into a panic attack. So what anybody who's dealing with a panic attack has to do, and it's very simple, is as soon as you feel that tingle that you're going to get a panic attack,
that thing coming on,
start to breathe. Slow, deep, rhythmic breathing, SDR breathing. You know, I love simple hacks. Simple health hacks that we can all employ. That's why I love supplements so much. That's why I talk about spirituality and mental and emotional strategies. Breathing correctly is one of the most powerful, simple, and multifunctional lifestyle hacks that you can employ. And there's nowadays it's almost like it's a meme, breathing correctly. There's the Wim Hof method. I don't know if you've heard of this guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? So there's the square breathing.
He freezes his body.
He does a lot of amazing things using his breath. So learning to leverage the breath, and that's both the inhalation and the exhalation. They're both important. In fact, carbon dioxide plays a major role in oxygenation. So making sure you're breathing correctly, and that is slowly, deeply, and rhythmically. In fact, it's a wonderful way to fall asleep. If you have insomnia, it's a wonderful way to get your body to fall asleep. Slow, deep, rhythmic breathing is also an amazingly effective way to lower your blood pressure. In fact, anybody out there who has a blood pressure cuff, take your blood pressure as a baseline, and then practice 10 minutes of slow, deep rhythmic breathing. Take your blood pressure again. You'll be amazed at what you find out. And I predict the doctors of the future, instead of writing prescriptions for antihypertensives and calcium channel blockers and beta blockers, which are among the most toxic of all drugs, they'll be writing prescriptions for slow, deep rhythmic breathing, not to mention coenzyme Q10 and niacin and all the other nutrients that you get in the healthy brain and heart pack.
Fascinating. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Daniel in Wichita, Kansas. Great town. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, George. Thank you, Mr. Fuchs.
Thank you.
I called you about 70 days ago, and I told you about a problem I was having at the VA. You sent me a free bottle of EFA Plus, and God bless you for that. I was wondering if I could get some advice from you.
Sure.
Since that time, I was had problems with lung nodules. I had a echogram done on my liver 3 weeks ago, and it showed up what they said was a malignant poly something. I don't have the paper in front of me. The VA scheduled a MRI with contrast, and it showed a malignancy of 3.7 centimeters by 3.4 by 3.1. It said a malignant lesion. I thought a lesion was a cut, and they said, no, it's a mass.
Right.
I haven't seen an oncologist. I got sent to a gastrointestinal doctor, and he goes, we got to stick a needle in your liver and find out what kind of cells these are. I don't want to do that. You got to do what you got to do there, my friend.
Pardon
me?
Once the deterioration or the degeneration of the body has progressed to that point, you got to do what you have to do. At the same time, you want to take care of your liver. Your liver is your body's detoxification organ. And the more drugs you take, the more processed foods you eat, the more stress you're under, ways of living are going to compromise liver health. So anything you could do to take it easy on the liver, I'd be going ketogenic, very, very low
sugar. But he should get that biopsy done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. I wouldn't mess around with that.
Do it, Daniel.
But you want to make sure that you're taking care of your liver. The liver bears a brunt of a lot of our abuse, George. In fact, every time you take a prescription drug, your liver is doing the work to detoxify that prescription drug. And I sometimes get in trouble when I say prescription drugs are poisons. And when I say that, I am being literal. I'm not being hyperbolic or poetic. I am being literal in the sense that your liver is bearing the brunt of detoxification of that substance. And that's why, George, the more drugs you're on, the more prescription drugs you're on, and sometimes, as I say, you have to take them, the more unbelievably vital it is that you get on the Healthy Start Pack. At least you'll be able to mitigate the toxicity and support your body's ability to detoxify the substances if you absolutely need to be on them.
Next up, let's go to Tom in La Jolla. Tom, Uri Geller last night was very impressed with you, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. He is a very impressive speaker. And thank you. Thank you so much, George.
Follow up on that email to him through his website.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you, Ben, thank you for your service to the Coast audience.
Thank you.
And a question, a quick comment to explain the question. The question is, do microbes cause disease in any way, shape, or form? And the reason why I say that, like, for example, here in the western United States, we're having a drought. We're also having a plague of grasshoppers.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you tried to say that the grasshoppers were causing the drought, you know, people would think you were crazy.
Right, right.
Okay. And so I want to get back to this whole idea that microbes, bacteria, viruses cause disease. It's part of the allopathic pharmaceutical model.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of controversy about that, and just because the mainstream assumes that microbes cause disease doesn't mean that that's necessarily the case. And by the way, George, you have some smart listeners.
Oh, the best.
You have some really smart listeners. And this gentleman is on to something that's a very important point. We have assumed in the allopathic modern medical model that microbes cause disease. There is tremendous controversy among those who understand science, who understand biochemistry and biology, that this may not be the case. In fact, there was a great battle that was fought, metaphorically speaking. There was a battle that was fought between a biochemist named Antoine Beauchamp and a beer maker named Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur ended up winning the battle. He was of the position that, as we all believe today, that microbes cause disease. Beauchamp, on the other hand, said, no, it's the terrain. In fact, you use the word terrain. He said it is the terrain that makes the system susceptible to microbes. And the change in terrain, like this gentleman so astutely pointed out, is very similar to the change in terrain that occurs when you have a drought. But you don't say that the grasshoppers caused the drought. You say that the drought led to the grasshoppers. Similarly, according to Beauchamp and according to many thinkers, many very clever healthcare alternative, albeit healthcare professionals, it is the terrain. And this would make perfect sense when you take into account, George, that we have so mucked up our terrains based on our evolutionary needs and what has been selected for through millions of years of evolution, that of course there's going to be ramifications. Of course there's going to be implications. And it makes perfect sense that one of those implications will be the growth of microbes. So whether microbes cause disease or not, this is not there's no conclusive evidence that is the case, put it that way.
All right, and I believe there was a question in Tom's call to you. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, that was basically it. Is there any correlation, you know, like the grasshoppers and the drought? Yeah. Maybe the body is going through a drought
100%.
Of nutrients.
100%.
And so, you know, and the microbes are like the grasshoppers.
Absolutely.
They overrun the body because the body is going through a drought of a lack of nutrients.
Absolutely. And by the way, on his deathbed, Louis Pasteur agreed that Beauchamp was correct and that it was the terrain.
That's where we got pasteurization.
That's
right?
Exactly right. We got pasteurization. And by the way, there are some benefits to killing microbes. We know this.
Oh, of course.
Of course, right? However, as with all drugs, there is a price to pay. And the price that we pay when we kill microbes indiscriminately, because microbes balance everything out, is we end up with microbes that are not responsive to the medication, so-called antibiotic resistance and superbacteria, which in the future are going to be a very, very significant problem. So there's always a price to be paid. This is a Faustian bargain when you start playing with the body pharmacologically. Even if you can modify symptoms and even take care of diseases, it's a Faustian bargain in the sense that there's going to be a price to be paid.
Text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Ben?
Hey, this one from Maria in Slidell, Louisiana. Please tell the pharmacist I have nerve pain that starts at the base of my neck and travels to my feet, and I want to know what this is called and what I can do about it.
What is that?
It's a terrible thing. It's called neuropathy, and there's a lot of things you could do about it. One of the major causes of neuropathy that nobody talks about is the wrong kinds of fats, fried fats and processed fats. And one of the first things you want to do if you're dealing with this neuropathy issue, which affects diabetics classically.
Big time.
Big time, right? Diabetic neuropathies, is lay off the processed fats. Stay away from fried fats, anything, any kind of cooked fats or processed fats or artificial fats. Stay away from them. Instead, use God's anti-inflammatories, natural anti-inflammatories, which are the nutrient version of aspirin, called essential fatty acids, the ultimate EFAs from longevity, are a remarkable anti-inflammatory, anti-pain supplement. Also, the B vitamins, all of the B vitamins, which you'll find in the tangy tangerine, and get yourself on, in addition to staying away from the problem fast, get yourself on the ketogenic or at least a low-carbohydrate, low-sugar diet. Treat yourself like a diabetic. And last but not least, George, stretching the body is a wonderful way to relieve neuropathies, which can be caused by pulling and tightening of connective tissues. So learning to move the body a little bit and stretching the body. Sometimes when we're in pain, we don't feel like moving the body, but that sometimes, not always, but sometimes is exactly what you should be doing.
Ben, was diabetes tough to control 50 years ago?
No, it's simple to control 50 years
because
ago.
You hear stories of people get their legs amputated and they go blind.
Because we don't connect our lifestyle to our health, George. And we're not encouraged to do this because there's money to be made. And this is why I go on this program. This is why you guys so generously offer time to Longevity and Critical Health News, is because it's so important that we get the word out that our health challenges, our pain, our shortened longevity, our cancer, our miseries are directly correlated to how we live our lives.
Absolutely. Well, let me get that website out and that phone number again, and we'll have calls again next hour with you, Ben. Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. Slam that website. Let's set a record. And here's that toll-free number to call, 1-888-945-9497234. 1-855-949-RADIO.